This is Michael from Colorado. In this episode of Chickens, Beer, Fish Cleaning, Baseball Cards, Muscle Flexes, Scary Stats, Strong Opinions, and Marginal Analysis is brought to you by the IVMB Patreon supporters. Go Cubs!
Hi, and welcome to this, the 421st episode of the IVMB podcast. The Cubs continue to roll as they went into Oakland and swept the A's. We'll talk about that series. We're going to look at the big picture and look at where the Cubs are now and what stands between them and the division crown. We also have a listener question and some internet muscle flexes, so let's get this thing started. I'm one of your co-hosts. My name is Corey, and I am joined by the other two hosts of this podcast.
Hey, it's Andy.
And Kurt.
So the weekend at the lake is less than a week away. I'm pretty excited about it. And if you're coming, check out the document that I shared in the Facebook event. You can go to ivmb.com/lake. If you're not on Facebook, then email me, Corey, C-O-R-E-Y, at ivmb.com, and I'll get you all of the information on the weekend. So a couple days ago, it looked like it was supposed to be overcast the entire weekend. And now, apparently, it's supposed to be like the best Perseid meteor shower like in the next decade. Like, it's going to be another decade for it to be as good as it is this weekend. And I think Lauren posted a link in our Patreon group that there's supposed to be as many as 200 meteors visible an hour. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Do we have to be in a bunker for that? I mean, isn't that dangerous?
Is it? I mean, I'm really looking forward to that. I just, like, as this weekend comes up, I get more and more excited. We took the family over to Michael's to play wiffle ball, and he's ready to host us over there. He's got all sorts of new signs he's working on, and it was just wonderful. And Andy, plenty of wasps' nests in the scoreboard for you. So let's keep your...
Do we have spray?
All right, well, I call right field then.
Let's keep your streak of years being stung at the weekend at the lake. Let's...
Left field is closed.
No.
Can't pull the ball.
They'll be gone. They're probably already gone. Wasps are bad right now. They are like... Well, in one day, we had two kids get stung out here at the lake. So, but we're on... I'm going around every day trying to get rid of them all. So don't want any kids stung. Don't want any IVMB listeners stung. So hopefully we get rid of them. So, yeah, check out that document. It gives you all the information, what the schedule is and where we'll be at what time and everything. And if you have any questions at all, again, email me, Corey, at ivmb.com. Before we get started here, buying tickets online for sports and concerts has been a confusing process for a long time. It's always been hard to find the best deal for that game or that show that you want to go to, and none of those older ticket sites want to change that, but SeatGeek is different. They've come along and created an amazing app and website that makes it easier than ever for fans to buy and sell tickets. You've heard us talk about our SeatGeek experiences here on the podcast in the past. It's really the only place that I look for secondary market tickets. SeatGeek does all of the price comparison for you by searching multiple ticket sites, and they ensure that you get the best deal possible. SeatGeek does all the work, and they save you time and money. And SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value. You'll immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to get the best deals that fit your budget. And best of all, our listeners get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. To get your $20 rebate on tickets, download the free SeatGeek app. Go to the settings tab and tap on add a promo code. Enter the promo code IVY. It's all capital letters, IVY, and SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. So download the free SeatGeek app and enter the promo code IVY today. So the Cubs have been on quite a roll since the All-Star break, and quite a roll since that little rough patch there heading into the All-Star break. And I thought this might be kind of a good time to look at the big picture, mainly because the Cubs have gained even more ground on the Cardinals in these last few days. And I love seeing a division lead at double digits. And I think for the first time in the 2016 season, I'm ready. If you guys are, let's talk about a magic number here on the podcast. Can we talk about a magic number?
I think we can do that. Some people might not like it, but let's do it anyways. So the magic number sits at 41 right now, which they have 52 games to go. So that feels pretty good to me. They sit at 69-41. They've won 7 in a row. They're 15-6 since the All-Star break, after that 6-15 before the All-Star break. So that's a nice little
reversal.
Yeah. They have 11.5 game lead over the Cardinals. So let's see, their winning percentage is .627. So if they continue the rest of the season, that put them at 101.5. So whether or not you're a round up or round down kind of person.
We're Cubs fans. Let's be honest. It's round down.
Let's just go 101. I'll take 101. And I think the other kind of like fun things to look at is, so let's just some scenarios. If the Cubs play .500 baseball from here out, that'd be 26-26. They'd finish at 95-67. In order for the Cardinals to get to 96-66, they would need to finish 38-13. They only have 51 games left. The Cubs have 52.
So the Cardinals would need to
play .745 winning percentage baseball to catch to go that one game ahead.
You said losses of 13, right? They could only lose 13 more games in the last roughly 2 months of the season.
Oh, that's fantastic.
If the Cubs won 26, yeah. And so, yeah, that's kind of the fun part about magic number. You know, you can just like any combination to get to that 41 wins losses.
Oh, that's so great.
Right.
And it's cool, too, because their lead over the Cardinals was down to, what, 6.5?
No, I think it was 5.5.
Oh, really?
It seemed like it was 5.5. Like,
maybe 6.
I don't know. It was right around in there, and it seems like it wasn't that long ago that was that the lead was that close, but they've really kind of blown it open.
A little uncomfortable.
Yeah, anytime the Cardinals are anything, you know, any close at all. But they're now, correct me if I'm wrong, but they're closer to the Brewers than they are to the Cubs right now.
No, that's right. You know what? But you know, we better watch out. It was Christian Day at Busch Stadium today, though, so there might be some divine intervention coming their way.
It's begun.
They all believe that down there. There was something else I was going to say about the Cardinals, but I can't think of what it was.
I render you speechless.
I was going to throw in one other sort of comforting thing is like it's 11.5 doesn't, I mean, that's a big lead. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But, you know, the Cubs are, what, 28 games over .500? The Cardinals are 5 games over .500. And you sort of think about the struggle it takes to get that many games over the .500 mark and to think about trying to get there in 52 games remaining. Like, yeah, they're sitting pretty good. So they really just need to keep it up. They don't need to play perfectly, but they need to just kind of keep doing what they're doing.
Beautiful.
Yeah, this has been, I just love, and it's amazing. Well, you know, I remember what I was going to say. What makes me fearful, or what should give the Cardinals fans hope, is that I don't think they have to play the Braves anymore. So maybe, you know, maybe they'll be okay since they don't have to play those fearsome Braves.
Although I don't think the Cubs have fared too well against the Braves either
now,
this year.
Why'd you have to bring that up?
Because everyone's thinking it.
It's just, it's so great to see, like, I don't know. I just, well, I saw a, so we had our end of the year baseball party tonight for the town. And this one kid, and I always talk baseball with him. He's a Cardinals fan. And he walked up, and so I haven't seen him in maybe a month or so. And I was like, hey, how are your Cardinals doing? And he's like, oh, I'm not really paying attention. It's all about football. It's like, yeah, sure it is.
He's ready for some college football.
No, NFL. Nope.
Oh, well, the Hall of Fame game was supposed to be tonight, but I guess that got canceled.
Yeah.
So he's probably disappointed.
Yeah. So, but I think a lot of Cardinals fans are, and I told him, I was like, you know what? As a Cubs fan, I've been there many summers where I was ready to not pay attention now and move on to football too. So I understand, but I'm glad that it's a role reversal.
Oh, you were kind about it.
Yep. Yep.
To the children.
You're just like a total jerk to a kid about it. In your face. He's a you little turd.
He's the one that okay, so this was probably in like the end of June or something. I was kind of like talking crap to him. And I was like, yeah, so the Cubs are like 7.5 games up on the Cardinals. And he was like, half a game? There's no such thing as a half a game. I was like, I tried to explain it, and he's just like, you're nuts. There's no way. I was like, okay, maybe I should pick on people my own size. Which is kind
of funny that Cardinals fans are, well, at least this little guy, he's already quit paying attention, but they're only a game out of the wild card. So.
Yeah, and you know what? I mean, that is serious. I was looking at that yesterday, and I thought, man, oh my gosh, can you imagine if they get into the wild card, win that one game, and the Cubs play them, and like at that point in the season, like who knows, the Cardinals are like crazy man. Hot and freaking Colton Wong and
let's not even Grichik.
I know that's what I'm just saying, like I don't even want to, like I don't want to face them in the postseason. Wouldn't that not just be like such a just a buzzkill for this entire season if we had to face the Cardinals? And
I didn't want to say it. Neither of the wild cards come out of the Central.
Let's hope not.
Edit point right there.
Was there really an edit point, or were you just saying that?
I was just saying I didn't like that dark path you just took us down.
Oh, okay.
For a second there.
So you want me to cut all that out? Well, just think about it for a second. I don't like. Let's see. I would like to see them just continue their spiral downward and not even be man, that was a bummer. We were all excited about how far away we were the Cardinals, and we realized we could potentially face them in the playoffs.
Well, yeah, just how about a nosedive from relevance for like 10 years
or 30.
Be fine with me.
Yeah. Okay, so forget everything we said there. Kurt, everything else you said made me feel really good and very positive stuff. I like talking about a magic number in August.
Even 41 feels a little silly, but you know, I like to be talking about it. Like magic number is 41. but it does kind of put it into some context of, you know, 41 isn't that many, and you know, you just have to win and they have to lose and you're there.
Right. You can take two away every day if you keep that up.
Or when they play head to head coming up here.
Oh, four game series, I think. I'm really looking forward to that series, which we'll talk about that series on the next episode. But were you going to say something, Andy?
I was just going to say I forget who posted it on Twitter, but Lou Piniella's jersey number was 41.
Yeah. And Tony Campana. So you just take your pick. Campana or Piniella. So, okay, so kind of looking ahead throughout the rest of the season. I mean, so there, Kurt's kind of laid it out that if they play 500 between now and the end of the season, then they end up with what, 96 wins,
95
wins, and it kind of feels like, I mean, at least with Soler coming back, it seems like some of the injuries are kind of it's a good time, like. For things to kind of start coming back together, so that players can kind of start clicking and start playing as a unit again, in the last, 7-8 weeks of the season, whatever's left. But where are the Cubs with injuries right now?
Yeah. Like you said, it's kind of strange. I mean, they're pretty healthy right now. They only have six, players from the 40-man roster on the disabled list. Whereas, I mean, a lot of other teams aren't so fortunate this time of the season. The Athletics, for example, have 14. And so really the only two guys that even had a chance to really make an impact at the big league level this season are Trevor Cahill and Kyle Schwarber. Cahill has pitched 5 games already with Iowa, and opposing batters are hitting .311 against him. Oof. So you know that they have always been down. But yeah, so that's not good. I would assume, like, with 5 games under his belt, that it would be about time to be coming back to the Cubs. So I feel like they're going to have a decision with Cahill. I feel like they're going to have a decision with Cahill. The thing is I think he's a great multiple innings reliever. And I think other than Travis Wood, I don't know who that guy would be with the Cubs right now. So I feel like it might be a decision between Grimm and Cahill. I don't know. So it's kind of hard to see how he fits back into the team.
Well, whenever I think about Trevor Cahill, I always think that, you know, amber is the color of his energy.
You know what the worst thing is? Those dudes are from Nebraska. Okay. It's okay. Nebraska has 311 and Larry the Cable Guy. Oh, boy. All right. So anyway, apparently Kyle Schwarber's rehab, according to multiple, you know, media people, is well ahead of schedule.
Oh, Andy, can I interrupt you real quick?
Yeah.
While we're on the topic of Nebraska, Jay, my brother-in-law, he who's down here in the studio listening right now, he pointed out that Husker fans were mad because the hashtag GBR for Great Britain was being used for the Olympics because that was theirs, is Go Big Red.
Okay, well, let me go on record as a Husker fan saying I don't give a rip. Like like the Olympics can go ahead and have it for a few, like, what, 2 weeks?
The United Kingdom can go ahead and borrow it for a little while.
You guys can have it for 2 weeks, and then by the time it's important to have it mean, you know, having to do with the Huskers, then we'll have it back.
It can return to Lincoln.
from London to Lincoln.
Okay, oh, sorry. Go all ahead. Right. You got to understand, I mean, it's all they have, you know? So something else like takes their hashtag. It's not like they have a pro baseball team to fall back on or whatever. So anyway, yeah, so I wanted to talk about Schwarber. Chris Emma from CBS had an article, you know, saying that his rehab is well out of schedule. It's a direct quotation, and he's about to start jogging again. So it was at the end of July that was reported. He's supposed to see a doctor apparently early August and get a little running going.
Which is, I mean, jogging would pretty much be full steam for him. I mean, it's not like he. Okay, so I mean, like, I've heard like kind of like rumblings that he could be available to pinch hit or DH in the playoffs. Do you think that's actually, but they're asking that in the chat right
doesn't
now?
Doesn't he have to be back at a certain point in the regular season to be eligible for the playoffs?
I don't think so. I mean, he's on the 20 on the or well, no, because they put him on the 60-day DL.
Yeah, so I think he would be eligible since he's on the roster.
Yeah.
But anyway, I mean, apparently the team is taking the just kind of the more realistic approach of,
right,
yeah, he probably isn't going to be back this season. Let's go ahead and just expect 2017. Of course, a lot of people in the media are saying stuff like that. Like, if his rehab continues to go exceptionally well, like, it would have to go really, really well for him to even have a chance to show up in the postseason at all.
Well, let's not forget too that right after he had that surgery, they kind of like laid the groundwork for like he may not be ready to start 2017. You know, that he may actually start a month or two late next season, which, you know, and again, that's them probably just kind of laying the groundwork for taking away a lot of expectations, because they made it pretty clear at the time that he was not going to be back for the postseason. But wouldn't that be exciting? I mean,
oh my gosh, that would just be a boost to the team too, just because instantly all the memories of what he did last postseason,
right,
would come flooding back for everybody the instant he came to the plate. So I feel like that would be a huge boost for the team. Chris in the chat said he had knee surgery the same day as Schwarber and just started jogging.
Yeah,
and he says, and it hurts.
When is he? So when is
Chris available for the playoffs?
Right, Chris. When do you start taking BP?
Yeah. Do you think you'll be ready?
Could you be? But ready anyway, in like 6 weeks or 8 weeks. Sorry.
All right. Okay. So the cool. We're done with Chris, right? For right now. But yeah, I mean, it's cool how Schwarber has been still a presence with the team. We see him in the dugout all the time. According to that same article, he prepares every day like he's going to play. He works with the pitchers and Chris Bosio on game plans. So he is very much a part of the team still. When he's on the sidelines and can't play.
And he's very, I mean, I've been to Wrigley and seen him. He's very, and you can tell on TV, he's very active and involved during those home games too. And it's just good to see him. Is like, it's nice that somebody that sustained a season in ending injury, like in what, the second or third game of the year, I think it was really early on, that he is able, especially a young guy, able to really remain part of the clubhouse and part of the team in a way that he has.
Yeah, I mean, it's huge. And it says a lot about his character too. So I'm looking forward to just kind of cheering for him to get back to full health.
Yeah. Yep. So I guess we can kind of move on to the A's series if you guys want. And so staying on the topic of injuries, Jorge Soler is back. So he had the hamstring issue and he's been gone since the middle of June. And I think when that injury happened, I don't think we expected him to be gone for 2 months, but recovering from leg injuries will always be a slow process with Soler. It has been since the Cubs signed him, and I think it takes him a while to recover, and I think that the Cubs have no interest in rushing him. And really, there this season, I didn't feel that there really was a need to rush him. Overall, I mean, maybe they could have used his bat in the stretch where they didn't look very good heading into the All-Star break. But as we talked about on here, it almost felt like Fowler would have contributed more and the team was missing his production more than Soler. I think another reason that there was no need to rush him is just because the Cubs have so many players on the roster that can play multiple positions. And it didn't really feel like they needed him in left field. So he returned with a home run on Friday, and then he hit another one today. So he had, a hit on Friday and Saturday, and then he had two hits today. And it's just really good to have him back. I think, Contreras has been playing a bit of left field since he got called up. And honestly, I'm not sure that Soler coming back means that Contreras loses playing time, because Miggy has been bad, hitting 190, which is not good. You can't blame a small sample size in August, but
190 is a pretty big number though.
So, Miggy Mendoza, I guess we can call him, and I don't know if aging just kind of smacked him in the face this year or if he has injuries that he's been battling all season, but he has not looked good at the plate, and he has not looked good behind the plate. And
wait, so what? One night, you're not talking about his ISO 190?
No.
Oh, that's his average. Yes. Oh, that's not a good number.
No, it's not a good number. No.
Okay. I thought you were talking about ISO.
No, batting average.
Okay.
So he's been significantly below replacement value. His OPS plus is 72 and 100 is average. So he has been pretty drastically below average. And really, as we head into this stretch, the season down the stretch and look at the postseason, I would much rather have Contreras behind the plate than Montero. And I think if Contreras can hang behind the plate, it's really hard to see how Montero fits in with this team in 2017.
Yeah.
Yeah, generally agree too, because his arm's been terrible too. And then you see a young firecracker Contreras in there with the gun who's throwing at everybody, getting people out, whereas people know Montero is struggling throwing the ball and they're running all over him. So that also hurts.
Yeah, but, and it's hard to say, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, given the drastic drop in his numbers, there's got to be something going on that we don't know about, because, you know, you look at his career average. It's not like he's been around for 2 years. That he's right. Not a huge offensive threat, but this is way below what you'd expect from him.
You know what I was kind of thinking about today? Kyle mentioned this in the chat. Would the Cubs ever go to two catchers? And I was kind of fantasizing about having that extra pitcher in the bullpen. I think that would be kind of nice. Like if they could just add Cahill back, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be a tough call, like on a playoff roster or something. So,
oh, sorry. Yeah, for sure.
Sorry, Miggy.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know, like just in glancing at his numbers right now, it's kind of odd because his strikeout rate has actually dropped from last year and his walk rate has gone up. His BABIP is surprisingly, it was 306 last year and 219 this year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, which is surprising. So I'm just kind of looking at this as we go.
Well, those are kind of encouraging numbers, son. I mean,
yeah, and his
not as low on him as I thought I was.
Well, here's one thing that kind of stands out is his ground ball rate is pretty high. It's 52.3%, and it was 40.
Well, that's almost Kyle Hendricks' ground ball percentage.
So that's 12 points higher than it was last year. So he's not hitting, you know, that means his line drive rate is 10 points lower. So there's some of your explanation of what's going on, and he's pulling the ball a lot more too, which isn't surprising. Like I think that's something you would see Miggy do. If he's struggling at the plate, he's going to try to pull the ball, and he's probably, you know, rolling over the top of it. It's not good though, and it's hard to say. Like, okay, so you have David Ross retired this year. I don't think. Like, Miggy isn't necessarily a backup catcher type guy either. You know, like, I don't think it's ideal for a 33-year-old to be your guy getting one start a week or, you know, through the rotation. And so it's like, could they maybe split Contreras and Montero, you know, three starts and two starts? Or I don't. And who is John Lester going to work with? I don't know. Lots of questions.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's also tough because they're going to have some roster decisions to make here fairly shortly with Cahill coming back and Hamill coming back off the bereavement list that they're going to have to do something. And I don't think it's going to be one of those guys, but I don't think it'll be Miggy, but somebody's going to have to go. And when you're carrying three catchers, it puts more emphasis on the kind of roster makeup that you have when you choose to carry three catchers.
Are you talking about for 2017?
No, I'm talking about in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah. So I think about this.
Like I said, I don't expect they're not going to like get rid of one of those three catchers, I don't think. But when you have three catchers, it makes you think like, okay, it's putting pressure on the rest of the roster.
Right.
Like Andy said, wouldn't it be great to have that extra bullpen arm?
Right.
But you can't because, and I think it's maybe a little bit unfair because Contreras is more than just a catcher, but because he can play pretty good left field. But.
It would be kind of funny if they kept all three on the playoff roster and then they brought Schwarber back. There were actually four catchers on a playoff roster.
I'm all for it.
Yeah.
So, anything else? I mean, that's kind of, I just wanted to talk about how, you know, it's good to see Soler back, and he kind of struggled. He was down in Tennessee, wasn't he? Rehabbing down there.
Yeah, he had a hard time down there.
Didn't look great, but I mean, that kind of shows you right there though, that, struggling on a rehab, stint doesn't really necessarily mean that, they're not ready to come back or anything like that, because they could be down there working on specific things, and they don't care what their double A numbers are going to look like. And so, yeah, Soler struggles down there or appears to be struggling and then comes up and hits two home runs in the first three-game series. It's good to have him back on the team. And I really, you know, especially when you look at I really like Soler. I know some people kind of don't like him or, you know, he's not their favorite or whatever. But look at what Solaire did in that playoff series against the Cardinals last year. And that shows you what he's capable of, because he was playing out of his mind in that series. It almost felt like he never got out. Like, he felt like he was never not on base when he came up. And I think he got on base like 10 at-bats in a row or something like that. So it's good to see him back. It's good to see him healthy, and hopefully his leg's feeling good. And I would imagine it surely is, or else, you know, with it taking that long, I'm sure he's feeling fine. So anyway, that's what
he absolutely clobbered those home runs he hit too.
Yeah,
I mean, he destroyed those balls. I mean, those are like frozen rope home runs to left field. So I liked what I saw. I'm just saying.
Yeah,
when I was looking for a scary stat, he came up. He popped up as a possibility. Not this isn't it, but he's hitting .333 since he came back. Of course, small sample size. OBP is .333, so no walks. And he's slugging .917 since he came back. So he's hitting the ball well. I think, but that also, I think, illustrates something that could be his downfall later, is that we're used to this lineup having really good at bats. And Jorge could be the spot where if he comes up in a key situation, he might get you a hit, but he's probably not going to work a...
I would agree with that.
Pitch at bat. Yeah, I mean, I think I don't know.
I mean, let's not forget the Solaire strike zone, where he's very disciplined with his at bats, and for whatever reason, it feels like he gets a lot of bad calls. I mean, we were talking about that early in the season. I think he has really good pitch recognition, and I think he's got good plate discipline. I don't mean to tell you that you're wrong, but. I disagree. I think
you're more right than I am, but let's just say he's being aggressive since he came back.
Yeah, it's nice to see him on the team. Anything else? Any comments you guys have on this series with the A's?
I wanted to talk about Hendricks briefly. I mean, dude has really pitched well. I mean, he was coming off his. For his start against the A's, he was coming off his complete game against Miami, and he threw 123 pitches in that game. And then today, he went 7.1 and gave up only 3 hits and 1 earned run on 100 pitches. And I just was thinking about how a year ago, I expected him to always be the guy to go, you know, 6 innings at most.
Right.
Just kind of be the guy that the bullpen always has to pick up. And this year he's averaging 6.2 innings per game started, whereas in 2015 he was at 5.6. So that's a pretty healthy increase. And just some of the other numbers I looked at, like this year he has a 55% quality start percentage compared to 34% last season. And we talked about this before, but he's number one in the league in soft contact percentage at 25.9%. Some other numbers he's pretty high in. He's number 14 in ground ball percentage at 52.3. And he has the 9th lowest home run per fly ball percentage at 8.8%. So he's got some pretty impressive numbers.
Yeah, and I mentioned scary stat before, but I was going to have Kyle be my scary stat, partly because when we talked about him last week, I actually said, hey, you might put him at number one, given him, you know, in a good matchup in the playoffs, which after I said it felt a little crazy. And then he did this. So I kind of felt a little bit vindicated. But I think, so the scary stat that I found was that he's made 21 starts this year. And in 16 of the 21 starts, he's given up 2 or fewer earned runs.
Wow.
And so you expect your, Andy kind of hinted at this, you expect your number 5 guy, like maybe he goes out and he gives you 5, he gives up 4 runs and he keeps you in the game.
Right.
But, you know, like I said, 16 of 21 starts, he gave up 2 or fewer. And we've touched on this in the past before too, where he's been pulled early, like 5 innings in, he's given up 2 hits and no runs or something. I think early in the season he got pulled because of an offensive opportunity. So, you know, he's been incredible, and sometimes the numbers don't show it as well. The wins and losses don't show how good he's been. So, I mean, that's pretty amazing out of your number 5.
And beautiful to see him get a start like today on the road.
Yeah,
because it's been pretty well documented that he's been fantastic at home and not quite as fantastic on the road. And today he looked great. And in fact, he probably would have finished the eighth inning had it not been for that solo shot that was hit off of him. And so he was cruising. I mean, he was dealing today too. It felt very similar to the complete game against the Marlins.
I think the one thing with Hendricks, I mean, basically from here on out through the rest of the year, is that Hendricks is, so last year he threw 180 innings. He's at about 125 right now. And I just, he's the kind of guy that, like, I don't want to see him run out of gas and become that guy that you hope can go five innings like he kind of was last year. And so even though he's pitching so well, I would actually kind of, I mean, I like the idea of if he can pitch the way that he is right now in the playoffs, I think that's really valuable, no matter what his role is. And if he's, you know, one of those, you know, top three, or if he's going to play a different role, it would just be, I wonder if maybe getting him a skipping one of his starts, you know, maybe twice here between now and the end of the season might be good for him, or just sending him out there knowing that he's only going to pitch five. I don't know. I would hate to see him kind of run out of gas. The interesting thing though is that he's not necessarily, and this is kind of a I have nothing to back this up, but I almost wonder if, because of his style, if he's not as likely to run out of gas because he doesn't really rely on gas. Say his fastball drops from 91 to 90. I don't know how much of an impact that has, considering, you know, that he does pitch to, you know, and induces a lot of soft contact and a lot of ground balls. I don't know, but it really feels like the pitching staff is clicking right now. It feels like we're getting a lot of really good outings, and I would like to see the Cubs, you know, they have a cushion right now. And I wouldn't mind seeing them just kind of get each guy maybe a day off and skip a start and just kind of take a little bit of pressure off of them.
I totally agree with that. And they can afford it. I was just thinking, like, wouldn't it be interesting to know, like, how hard Kyle Hendricks could throw a fastball, like, if he could just not worry about ruining his arm or anything, like, if he just really let one go, like, how fast he could throw it.
Well, I tried it. I went to the Peoria Chiefs game on Thursday night, and
oh boy. I didn't expect this to go to your arm, Corey. Okay.
I went to the radar gun thing that they had up in the concourse, and I only had one throw. I let my daughter take five, and I had the last one.
I'm going to go with six. Wait, let's guess. Let Curtin. Well, me guess.
First off, I think that the radar gun was wrong. So let me just put that disclaimer out there.
Do you think it was hot, or do you think it was...
I think it was
down.
Cold because these like fifth grade girls came up later.
I think it was cold.
So they adjusted it. They adjusted it. It wasn't the same for everybody.
I don't know.
Corey, let's just put it out there too. Corey thinks he's Cal Ripken too. So
the fifth grade girls are showing 68 underhand.
Yeah. Okay. So I think I'm Cal Ripken because I felt really crummy these last couple days. And I thought, you know what? I'm real tempted just to skip this episode, but I've never missed an episode of our podcast. I'm 421 episodes in. So that's why I feel like I'm the Cal Ripken of IBM.
Iron Man. wait. So we, okay. Yeah. Will you let us guess on how hard you threw it?
I'm going to write down my number so I'm not influenced by Andrew's.
Okay.
Guess.
But I'm telling you, I think the gun was wrong. Because I really...
All right, I have written down my number. Go ahead, Andy.
But hold on. I would also like to say it was a strike. It was, in fact, geez. The kid running it...
Let me just guess the number.
The kid running it said, wow, that was right in there. It's like, oh, yeah, it was.
He's like, I'm going to guess he reared back. He reached deep because he knew his day was about done. So he knew he could really throw this one hard. I'm going to guess 57.
This is my guess.
Kurt guessed 64. The clock read 56, but I know that it was wrong. First off, I mean, these like fifth grade girls came up and they were throwing like, it said like 52. And I was like, there is no way I don't know. Something was
and
wrong.
I've driven 56, and I know my ball is going faster than a car on the highway by my house.
Now when cars go by, I just like time it and throw it at the same time.
Oh man,
it was faster than that car.
Can we set up a radar gun booth at the weekend at the lake? Because I want to know.
Man, that would be fun.
You know, I think they have. I think they have apps for that.
Oh, we got to get that.
But maybe you have to throw your phone. I don't know.
I'm gonna throw 58.
Yeah, what were we talking about?
I don't know, Cubs, baseball, something like that.
Well, we were just getting done talking about Kyle Hendricks.
Oh, yeah.
So let me bring it back. Guys, is Arrieta back?
He looks to be. I think he is. I mean, he said in his post game he was almost there or something like that. I think I forget what his quote was, but like pretty close, something like that. So,
his line sure looked good in the game against the A's. I mean, he pitched 8 innings. Only gave up 3 hits, struck out 4 and walked 1. However, I watched the game, and it looks like lately there have been like 3 or 4 batters where his mechanics look like they get kind of out of whack,
mm-hmm.
and then he just sort of gets back on track. And he said something along the lines of that too in his post game comments. But with his stuff, I mean, it's weird. He can be kind of out of whack and still get swings and misses and induce weak contact and stuff like that. But it just, he doesn't look quite the same to me. Just this, the eyeball test at times. So I don't know. What do you guys think?
Yeah, in that game, he did. I mean, I couldn't tell you what inning it was, but late in his start, he had a series of batters where he was like way down in the count, like 3-1, 3-0, and got out of one with a ground ball. But yeah, he was just getting behind, didn't look quite as sharp. But so that's the kind of stuff we didn't necessarily see last year, but we are seeing this year.
Well, and I don't, you guys may have mentioned this. I was looking something up real quick, but did you mention that in that game on Saturday, he only had 4 strikeouts?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the number was a little low. So I don't know. I mean, I'm not quite ready to say unequivocally that he's totally back, but I mean, it's hard to say that line, you know, it's hard to naysay that line. 8 innings, only, you know, giving up 0 earned runs and only 3 hits. While only walking 1, and try to be negative about it is,
yeah. Well, and I think that goes to back to what your expectations are. And I think Corey, you maybe said this last time. Like, if your expectations are second half area to last year, mm-hmm. I don't know if we're going to see that again.
No,
and if we do, awesome. But if your expectations are really good number one starter, then this is okay. This is what we want.
Yep.
What he did last time out, the last
every
two times.
Time. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Guys, can we jump back to my radar gun experience real quick?
You want to correct it? It was actually 50.
So because I was thinking about it, and I was like, I was trying to put it into context, you know, 56 miles an hour. And so this makes me feel really bad. Carlos Villanueva's Ephus pitch to Jason Wirth was 57 miles per hour. So Carlos Villanueva,
JD, that said, "Look at that, darling," or whatever. Look at that, sweetheart.
Yeah, look at that, sweetheart.
So if he would have seen your hardest effort, he would have said, "Oh, look at that, sweetheart."
He had to try to throw it that soft.
I know, the slowest he could possibly throw it was me just rearing back and letting it fly.
And so on your hardest effort, like Jason Wirth would have been able to do a double kick on his swing.
Yeah, Corey's going to have a Tommy John surgery next week.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the velocity's just not there. They've got to do an MRI, see what's going on there with the old arm, the old chicken wing, the old Chuck McElroy chicken wing.
Oh, that's a throwback for the long time listeners. Hey, I got it. Look right here. We're getting off.
The Chuck McElroy there. Chicken wing.
I got the Chuck McElroy chicken wing on the wall. Oh, gosh. It's one of those nights. Okay. So, if you guys don't have anything else to say about the series with the A's, just nice to get a sweep, you know? I mean, the Cubs have been winning series in a row. You know, they've won every series since the All-Star break, right? But it was just nice to get a sweep in there. And
heck yeah.
Especially, like, you know, that's not an easy road trip. Like, just to be at home, you know, and then they went to they had an away series. So since the All-Star break, they've only been on the road at Milwaukee and at the White Sox. So it's essentially they've been in Chicago since the All-Star break. And then they got to go out to Oakland for three games and come right back. But it just feels like that was a, you know, real strong way to kind of have that little, you know, it's not ideal to do a road trip like that. But they made the best of it. And I'd say they're coming back to Chicago with some momentum.
Must have been that round they played at Pebble Beach.
Right,
yeah. Half the team. Did you guys see those pictures?
Yeah.
Nice and relaxed. Financed by
Lester.
Yeah. That was probably part of his contract. He got it for free.
Right. So we do have one listener question. Oh,
wait. Can I say one more thing about the series? Is I loved on Friday. Fowler, by the third inning, had three at-bats already.
Yeah.
I thought that game was going to get so out of control, and it just ended up being, 7-2?
Yeah.
But anyway, I was so amused. I was like, I was hoping he would get like a ridiculous number of at-bats, and I think he only ended up with five. Okay, anyway, proceed.
Well, we have a question sent in by a listener. This is from Cole, and he said, I've been listening to every episode of IVMV as of the last couple of months. You guys put on a great show. You guys may have discussed Strope before I began listening to your podcast, but if not, I'd like to hear your guys' thoughts on him. Personally, I'm a nervous wreck every time he steps on the mound, and I feel most of his outs are the result of poor discipline by batters, and yet he is now part of the Cubs trifecta, more like duo, if you ask me. And then he says he's a 21-year-old college student and transferring to Western Illinois in Macomb, and he hopes to meet us someday. Yeah, so Duffy's is only, 30 minutes away. And Andy, you went to you're a Western grad.
I am, yeah.
Any tips?
Like 10 years ago, I was running around Macomb. If only you were there sooner, Cole. But let me say this about Pedro Strop is that opposing hitters are hitting 168 against him, and that makes him the number 8 reliever in all of baseball. And he's also 14th among relievers with 20 holds. And so he's pitched in 47 games and has given up at least one earned run in only eight of those games. So that means that he's pitched 39 clean games.
Yeah. So he gave up two runs on August 2nd against the Marlins. And that was his, the first run that he allowed in 9 appearances. And he had 8 straight appearances in which he didn't allow a hit. And in those 8 games, he struck out 7 and walked just 2. So I'll take that. I think with a lot of, sports, and I think especially with relievers, you just get a certain feeling when a pitcher comes in. And it's hard to, and we've talked about this before, where it may seem like a player always does something. And I think that relievers are just like just one of those positions in baseball where I don't think you have like, especially like setup guys, 8th inning guys, and closers. You don't like you have an opinion on them one way or the other, and they give you a certain feeling. I guess Cole, I'll just say he doesn't give me the feelings that he gives you. Because I feel really confident with him coming in. He has an ERA and a FIP both under 3 this season. He strikes out about a third of the batters that he faces. His walk rate is the lowest it's been in his career. Batters are getting hard contact off of him at a lower rate than he's had in his entire career. So I guess, I mean, I'm not, you know, I guess I just don't see what you're seeing, Cole. But like I said,
you know what? You know, like every time you see a reliever, it's a small sample size.
And it really is. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. I mean, so, you know, if you see a game and you kind of lock in on that game, it can kind of become, I think, magnified in your mind where it doesn't deserve to be. And sorry, I kind of squelched the last part of what you were saying there, Corey, but
no, I think that's pretty much, I think you summed it up there. And I mean, an example of that would be like, you know, Marmol was the kind of guy that even when he was really good, he still made me nervous when he came in. I was very confident in his ability to close out a game, but it felt like, well, he's got to give up a hit or load the bases with walks before he finally throws that one slider in there for a strike, and then it's just over because he's in the zone. And in a way, I kind of feel like Strope is somewhat like that, but he doesn't walk many guys, and I think he's I'm real confident when he comes in. I mean, I would say I'm almost more confident in him than I was in Rondon as a closer, and I was confident in Rondon, but I think Strope is really good. But do you have anything yet?
Well, you know, and the numbers back up him, you know, and Rondon as being a couple of the best closer. I mean, not closers, but the best relievers in baseball.
Right.
So I get it though. Like everyone, he has that occasional just sort of off inning, and it, you know, I just think that kind of gets magnified.
Yeah. Anything to add there, Kurt?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. I just looked in the chat and Taylor points out it was a couple of sweeps in a row. I don't know how I forgot that. I guess to win seven in a row, there's a couple of sweeps in there, but
And I think I saw somebody on Twitter today posted the Cubs have like 10 sweeps this season. I don't know. I can't back that up, or I don't know for sure, but that doesn't sound out of the question to me. And that's awesome if they have 10 sweeps.
Yeah, definitely. Kurt, you already gave us your scary stat of the week. Do you guys have any internet muscle flexes?
I have one.
I don't.
Okay. Is yours pretty good, Andy?
I guess.
Well, I mean, I just, if you got a good one, I always kind of like to end it with the stronger one. So,
it's pretty good, I guess. Okay. I don't know.
I'll go first.
It's okay.
Okay. I'm going to go first then. So mine came from, a listener, Josh, from Louisiana, who is coming to the weekend at the lake. So you'll all get to meet Josh. He sent this in, it was after today's game. And this says, so it was basically, I think he just sent the screenshot. So I don't know if it was like it's from Instagram. So it must've been something about, Kyle Hendricks and pitching well today in his ERA. And it said it could have, so this person is talking about his ERA. It could have been 2.10, but no, Madden decides to keep him in. I just like that. But like, oh, man. You know, it's not like, oh, he could have ended his season at a certain, you know, number. Here we are, like, August 7th, and this guy's mad at Madden for ruining his 2.10 ERA.
Oh, my gosh, dude. Yeah, relax. Freaking A.
He could have had a 0.0 in August, right, if he wouldn't have given that up.
Yeah. So you said that yours came from Cubs Instagram also?
I think so.
Corey?
Yeah, yeah. So Josh sent it to me. So,
okay. So mine is from Cubs Instagram also. And it's on the post where the Cubs posted two homers and another Kyle Hendricks gem moved the Cubs to a season high 28 games over 500. And so that, you know, that says a lot right there. And one commenter said, "We are not doing too bad this season." Just kind of a nice gentle, like, nice gentle
oblivious understatement
flex. But then another commenter says, "My favorite cracker."
What?
That's it.
What? I don't understand. Kyle Hendricks is his favorite cracker.
I don't either. There was no, I looked at the entire thread of comments, no reference to crackers. And so it has to be
not like,
I don't know if he's,
it's not like,
I don't know if he's calling Kyle a cracker.
It wasn't like he's calling, the Cubs are putting on the Ritz or something like that.
No, nothing indicating crackers anywhere. And so I think he was calling Kyle a chicken and a biscuit.
It just happened to be his favorite one.
I don't understand.
I don't either. And so I loved it a lot.
Well, here's another thing I don't understand. Why is he your favorite cracker?
I know there's so many possibilities for favorite crackers out there.
I know. Oh, man. So that does it for this episode, which was brought to you by all of our Patreon supporters. We have some new Patreon supporters to thank this week, and some existing supporters have upped their pledge. You can always do that. You can up your pledge. Phil in Indianapolis and Carrie in Prospect, Kentucky upped their pledges, so thank you. And the new contributors are James in Haverhill, Massachusetts. I hope I'm saying that right. Haverhill. Aaron in Greensboro, North Carolina, Mandy in Pacifica, California, and Alan in Barrington, Illinois. So James, Aaron, Mandy, and Alan will be able to eligible to win a John Baker bobblehead like I'm holding right now for the live viewers. I'm going to give one just like this away later in the month, and it'll be a drawing, and all of our Patreon supporters will have their name in the drawing. I'll be getting caught up with all the Patreon perks that I need to send out after the weekend of the lake. It's been a busy few months here in IVMB land, and so I've got shirt orders to fulfill and Patreon perks to get out. And if you like what we're doing and you would like to help us pay the podcasting bills, help us replace and upgrade equipment, and help us do our live events, then go to patreon.com/IVMB. Everything we've made off Patreon has gone right back into the podcast to make everyone's IVMB experience better. So again, go to patreon.com/IVMB. That's patreon.com/IVMB. Or you can go to IVMB.com and there is a Patreon link on the right side of the page. So that does it for this episode. We'll be back on Wednesday evening to talk about the two-game series with the Angels on Tuesday and Wednesday. And then it's the Cardinals for four games. And I am ready for that series. Wrigley will be buzzing. So thank you for listening and downloading. And until Wednesday night, go Cubs. So don't you give up on me now. Gonna pop champagne by the lakeside when the evening comes. When the stars align, we're gonna pop champagne. Gonna pop champagne by the lakeside.